proclaim today that when I think of his goodness and all that he has done, for me, it says that my soul cries out the greatest praise that I got. My soul cries out. My soul. This month, we are going to be centered in the teaching on hope. I want you to know that last Sunday we celebrated the resurrection. And so it was 50 days after that they experienced Pentecost. So we're going to focus on 50 days of hope. Because the day of Pentecost is when he had fully come. And I want you to know that it's time for the Lord to fully come in you. And that's where I want, that's where God wants us to center our hope, that he would fully come in us. This is the theme scripture that I want us to quote together today. Let's read it together. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. First, it deals with when. Now. Then it deals with the waiting, the period of time. And then it points out to what we should be waiting for. Because our hope is not in man, it is not in money, it is not in doctors, and it is not in medicine. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen. Turn two passages of text. First, turn to Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Let us pray. All wise and eternal God, we thank you for leading us in worship and for extracting praise out of us. For helping us to let go of ourselves that we may embrace you. That truly a cry has gone out, Lord. And we know, Father, that you are our hope, so we know that you heareth us. And Father, as we are your body, bring us all to a oneness in you. That you would just hold back anything that tries to distract today. That we may have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, we came in with needs and wants and desires, but right now, just encapsulate us that all that we would want is you. Father, we know if we have you, we have everything. Therefore, God, have your way. Come and speak to our hearts. Change us and rearrange us. Open us up. Give us vision. Father, we thank you. And as I stand here, Lord, I need your help. You said you're a very present help in the time of need. So come now, Lord. Come quickly. That you may use me, that your people may hear from you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 24, it reads, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul says, I'm suffering for the church. It's not about me. It's about God's body, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generation, but now, somebody say now, has been revealed to the saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Say it's in me. All right, now turn to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10. Mm-hmm. That's right. Let the Lord know you're here. Mark 10, verse number 46. We there? Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Isn't that good? I want to look back at verse number 48. It says, then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to speak to you on this topic. It's simply titled, A Cry of Hope. A Cry of Hope. You may be seated in the presence of God. A cry of hope. Many times we have read this particular text and we focus on the healing, we focus on the faith, but I want today to focus on the hope. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says, we have faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The first thing he mentions is faith. There's a lot of teaching on faith. There's a lot of teaching on love. But we're going to teach on the power of hope. I notice that many grab that first word and on so much teaching on love, because love, without love, there wouldn't be no faith and it wouldn't be no hope. But I want to get to the center word, because hope sits there in the center, and sometimes we miss the bullseye because hope sits in the center of you. If you understand that God is particular about the center of the man, that's why his spirit, the hope of glory, dwells in the center of you. God is centered on things. That's why he sits on the circle of the earth, because the center of everything makes the difference. And we oftentimes will hope in so many things, and our hope goes crazy. We hope in doctors. We hope in stuff. And many times we don't even realize that we have put our hope somewhere else. But God has placed hope in you and knows how to get the hope out of you. Therefore, he says we must cry out, because crying out speaks to the soul. You do not cry out without getting to the very depths of the pain in which you are experiencing that will cause you to cry out. Notice that they were coming out of Jericho. And if you know anything about Joshua in chapter 6, it talks about the story of Jericho when the walls were up. And they began to march around Jericho, and they had instructions that if they marched around Jericho 7 times, then there would be a blowing of the trumpet, and then they would have to cry out with a loud shout. But the walls did not come down until they cried out with a loud shout. The horns blew. They had marched around, but nothing happened until they cried out with a loud shout. Oh, understand, when Lazarus was dead in the tomb, the Bible says that Jesus cried out. He did not say, Lazarus, come forth. The Bible is clear to say that he cried out, Lazarus, come forth, because he was speaking from the depths of his soul, and that's where the power of God lies, the hope of glory. And if you're going to if you're going to release power into the atmosphere, you're going to have to cry out from the depths of your soul. It is not about being cute with your cry. It's about pouring out with your cry, because you release power into the atmosphere. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is coming. As a matter of fact, when Jesus arrived, he was blind, but he knew he was there. He did not see Jesus, but faith had him to believe that Jesus was there, because faith cometh by hearing. Somebody said to the blind man that Jesus from Nazareth was coming, the son of David, and he believed. He didn't even see Jesus. He believed he was there. Some of us came to church believing that Jesus was going to be in the house when you made it to the house. I got news for you. You brought him to the house, and because others were here with him in the house, we get to experience him in a greater way, because you showed up today. This man didn't care about what people had to say. He was blind, but he had an ear to hear. And I want to look at the man's blindness for a reason, because some of us get blinded, therefore we lose hope. And there are things in life that will sometimes take away your spiritual sight. I'm not talking about how you see with your eyes. I'm talking about your spiritual sight, how you see from the depths of you, how you see through the vision of God. The enemy is out to blind you because he knows that vision will make this world a better place. He knows that God uses vision, and he places vision in his people, and he is trying to disrupt the vision so that you would be blind. And so when your vision seems like it hurts so bad that you can't see clearly, isn't it something that sometimes it'll hurt so bad that you will focus on the pain instead of focusing on the hope? And so pain comes in our life, and we look at the pain more than we have the hope. We take our vision into the pain, and then we start speaking to the pain in our life. Or if a problem happens, we will talk about the problem instead of the hope. Last time I checked, every problem that happened on earth, Jesus was able to resolve it. There was nothing too big for God. And breaking news, there's still nothing too big for God. But God has given a hope to a people. And the people, listen, when we bring our hope together, then the kingdom can fully come. And then thy will be done on earth. But it's looking for a people who will reestablish their hope so the vision can go forward. Hope. Again, one of the greatest things that contradicts hope, discouragement. Mm-hmm. So when stuff is not going right, we get discouraged. We can lose a job and get discouraged because you lost the job. But surely, if you really have a relationship with God, losing the job should encourage you. Because when you can't do it, that's an opportunity for him to show up and prove that he can do it. And so instead of being discouraged, we got to turn it around and let our hope be the vision and be encouraged. When it looks like our backs are against the wall, when it looks like our pain has blinded us, when it looks like our trouble has blinded us, when it looks like our family, so much turmoil is going on in the family that it blinds us, we ought to turn our face to God and let God be God and put our hope in him. In God we will trust. In God we will put our hope. This man could not see God. He was blinded, and I don't know what blinded him, because right now we're talking about the physical blindness, but he might have been blind in a whole lot of areas, because the Bible says that he sat and begged. He didn't have nothing. He was a beggar sitting outside begging. And God is not only blessing those who come to church. God will bless those that are outside of the church that are begging. God doesn't care too much about the situation. God, listen, God desires to solve every problem that happens in the believer's heart. Anybody out here going through a little something in some area of your life that has almost caused your vision to perish? One of the greatest things that will cause vision to perish is you. Become so hard-written and taking on every pain that has happened in your life and looking at what's going wrong rather than looking at what has gone right. God has always been with you. He delivered you time and time again. Even when you weren't taking care of yourself, he was taking care of you. Even when you wasn't coming to church, even when you wasn't serving him, you was doing good serving Satan. And God said, you still belong to me, and I'm going to turn you around one day. And God stayed with you. Bartimaeus sitting on the outskirts, and Jesus comes, and he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David. He was in a situation where he didn't have nothing, and he could not see, but he had hope. And he began to cry out for the hope. He began to cry out for Jesus. Now that right there was enough for me. But what happens next is what really goes on in our life is that, and this has been a problem, is that our hope is so spread out that we judge how we should hope. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. Because it was the disciples that judged the beggar when he was crying out to Jesus. Now, the Bible says if you don't cry out, he'll make the rocks cry out. But it was the church that tried to hush him. Because the church will sometimes focus on where somebody is instead of focusing on who he is. And the church has been guilty of focusing on people rather than focusing on God. Therefore, we will focus on people and begin to judge the people. And so the church has been guilty of taking hope away from people. And sometimes God has to put us in a hopeless situation so that we could get our vision back and realize that we got to focus on him because he is our hope. This man began to focus on Jesus. And what I love about the revelation is the man didn't care about what the people were saying. You know how you can start to believe God's going to work it out and somebody will call you up and start telling you how big the problem is, and all of a sudden you start looking back at the problem when you were focused on God and your hope was in God, and all of a sudden your hope becomes deferred. You start looking at what's going wrong more than you're looking at the hope who has always been the answer to everything that has gone wrong in your life. This man, he was a beggar. He didn't have it all together, but he was a believer, and he had hope. He couldn't see, and look, most of us need to put some blinders on our eyes when we come into worship so that we're not looking at what's happening on the outside, that we'll be able to see that there's a whole kingdom in us trying to get to the outside, and you are one cry away from releasing kingdom power into the atmosphere. I was looking at how the crafty the enemy has worked, that he does things to cause division in the church. And do you know that we as a people, we won't hang out with people because they won't believe like you believe. And so we start looking at what we're in disagreement with more than what we're in agreement with. Why? Because if you can come together on one thing, you're more powerful than you were in that one thing. I saw a video this past week where when the shooting broke out in Ferguson and the police officer had killed this young man, and all the young people were upset and mad, and the pastors and preachers and rabbis and Catholics and Jews and you name every religion came together, and they got on their knees and they were praying, and you seen them with various religions, and did nobody care which religion was out there, because tragedy had happened. And that when there's no tragedy, our hope begins to judge. We start looking at what we don't agree on more than what we do agree on. You know, I met with pastors and rabbis and Buddhists and everybody, and all of them began to share their faith this past week, and they were talking about their hope. And in their religion, they said that all of them believed in one principle, betterment for God's people. There is one God, and I'm going to share this with you. If we could just agree to get together, it will establish the hope so that God could do all that he said he would do. And see, there is something going on, and the enemy don't want us to bring our hope together. Because if we come together, we will dismantle every plan that the enemy has. And so in the church, even in the church, here Barnabas is crying out to God, and the church is telling them, hush up. Hush up. That's why I didn't begin to preach, because people were crying out to God. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. He's our hope. There's everything in store if we let him be the center of our hope. Now get this. The man began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David. They said, be quiet. That fueled him. The Bible said he began to cry out all the more. Can you imagine that if you're centered on God and you begin to cry out to God, how pleased God is that no matter what anybody says, and we have been deterred by other stuff going on in our life that will interrupt our cry out to God, because that brings down the hope of glory which dwells inside of each believer will get released to the atmosphere. You are just one cry away from receiving the blessings of God to overtake the situation. Whatever's trying to blind you, it cannot blind you if you cry out to God. And most of us will come to church and think this is a place to be quiet. Sometimes we get, oh, don't take all that. Oh, they were just showing off. You don't know what they were doing. God knows how to put something on you that will look, make you look like a fool in the eyes of people, but it will bless his name, because the cry out to God blesses God. When Bartimaeus began to cry out to God, Jesus said, bring him forward. The disciples said, oh, he's calling you. That's what I want to tell you today. The pain that you've experienced, the hurt that you've gone through, the disappointments that have happened in your life, the thing that plotted to discourage you was a plan for God to encourage you, was a plan for God to bring forth a brighter vision. It was a plan for God to bring forth the hope that dwells in you. It was a setup, and it's all good. God is bringing out the very best in you by hurting the thing on the outside so that he could get the best of you, the hope of glory which dwells on the inside. And that's why we must cry out to God. That I'm calling. I'm calling you. Now, if God is calling you, will you answer him? You cried out. Now he's calling you. Now that you get in the presence of God, he says to you, what do you want from me? The blind man said, oh, that I may see. Now get this. It started out with a cry to get to the very thing that he needed. And we often will lose hope in the middle of the cry because it's too big for God, or it hurts too bad. I'm hurting right now, but it has ignited a new hope. Oh, I never should have got afflicted this way, because the devil shouldn't have never made me cry, because crying has produced something that has initiated, has motivated, has invigorated, has put in a new vision and a hope of glory. Now it's not dependent on what I could see. It's dependent on the hope that dwelleth in me. Now, Jesus, the hope has been raised up. Rise up. And we often get upset because we go through. And the enemy tells you to be discouraged. But God is saying, be encouraged. Come here for a minute. Because with you, you can only go so far. But with God, you become unlimited. Without God, you can only get here. But with God, you can mow down anything. And any mountain.
You can command a mountain that's in your way, and you trying to get to the other side, but you can't get there with you. But with God, you can get anywhere because he is possible and you are limited. But when you go, I cry out the hope of glory, you become unlimited.
Your cry could move the mountain that has been stopping you from fulfilling the purpose that God. One cry, and we say, why am I crying so much? Because there's so much on your life. Do you realize his tears may have seen a mountain, but when you cry out long enough, you'll see that God is bigger than the mountain. And your vision will no longer see the mountain, but you'll see the God over the mountain. And so he no longer looks here, but he looks up there. And when he connects to up there, he can speak to up there to tell here to move. And when he speaks from up there, then this has to obey, because when two are in agreement, the hope becomes real life. What am I telling you? Your hope has to be upon God alone, because when you center your hope in God, you can have everything of God, and that is the vision, so that you can see him clearly. Question: what you looking for? Bartimaeus was looking for Jesus. Some of us are looking for wealth. And because you've been broke, you've been focused on getting some money. And so you've been crying out for the money. He has the money. But your cry for the money won't get you the money. He caused the blindness to be there so that you would look here. He caused the hurt down here so that you could look up there. He said, see, be still, and see the salvation of God. We gotta know that he is God. And when you know that he is, your language changes. Because while you're blind, you'll talk about what's wrong. But the moment you get vision, you'll talk about who's right. And when you begin to talk about how right your God is, your circumstances change down here. Oh, but God revealed this to me last night. He says, I allow problems to break out in your house, because when I finish with you, you're going to cause change in many houses. Oh, and sometimes we think it's all about us, but God does not allow you to go through so that he can fix you. He allows you to go through so that he can use you to fix all the other houses. And it's time for all God's people to know that your cry is important to God. God knows your voice, and he wants you to cry out, not out of desperation, not out of frustration, not out of disappointment, not out of discouragement, but he wants you to cry out of hope. Hope, knowing that God is, and God will, and God shall, and God will be, and God always is. God is Alpha. God is Omega. God is the beginning. He's the end, and everything in between. God. Yeah. Do you understand the power? So often, we look and we mess up. Then we start talking about how we messed up. And then you become the biggest barrier of blindness. And I'm guilty. Anything that goes wrong in my house, I immediately blame me. And most of us do the same thing. What did I do wrong? But God wants you to know, you didn't do anything wrong. that some stuff he's just going to allow to happen in your house so that you could affect so many houses. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Yet he suffered so that he could affect the whole nation. Everybody is affected by one man suffering. Somebody say, I got hope. If you got hope, suffering is a part of the journey. But it's not for you to focus on what's causing the suffering. It's for you to arrive and see that God is above it all. And when you see God, and you know he has never forsaken you, he has never let you down, he has been with you all the time. He was with you and watching over your stuff, even when you wasn't doing right. And now, he said, I'm producing tears so you can see. It's washing some of this stuff that we've been focused on. Do you know tears represent washing as water? And sometimes you're going to have to cry because you've been focused on the wrong stuff. Because he's washing away everything that's causing you not to look at him so that he can reveal that there's hope. Who is the hope? Bartimaeus got it. It's in Jesus who dwells in us now. Shout, I have hope. And crying out is the key. Most of us didn't even cry until they got Jesus. And now as you got Jesus, you continue to cry. And you say, God, where are you? He says, I'm in it. I got to wash away all this stuff because it's obstructing the vision that I've placed. This is it. It says, my soul cries out when I think of the goodness. When I think of the goodness and all that he's done. Now, the problem is, when's the last time you thought about all the goodness that he's done? Because the enemy has planted seeds of doubt and discouragement in your mind, and you've been thinking about everything wrong. How about he saved you when you couldn't save yourself? How about he began to clean you up and deliver you from stuff that you thought you'd be hooked to the rest of your life? How about he keeps caring for you every day? This God that we serve, he's simply amazing. He's worth a good cry. We can get so happy when somebody blesses us, and we get happy about the person. When the person was just used by God, God sent them to help you. Every door that opens for you, God opened it. Do you know we send thank you cards to people? And forget about just crying out to God and telling them thank you.